Yeah. The more I look into CERN and do that type of research, the more I can definitely see that kind of stuff as a strong possibility. Taking CERN, Planet X, and other similar areas into consideration, what do you believe we as Christians can expect in our country and really the world in the near future with all these things culminating?
Well, as Christians, we have to constantly be on our prayer life has to really increase. We have to, plead the blood of Christ over our families, our homes, our own souls, and we got to be led by the Spirit of God. We have to understand that our warfare is not carnal, but it's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. So we are dealing with spiritual wickedness that is trying to manipulate our lives, whether it's through television or video games or subliminal messages off your iPhone or whatever it may be. Technology, here's what I always use this term, Josh. Technology is catching up with the prophecy. I've had people say, well, the prophecies are starting to come to pass. The prophecies are locked in stone. Our technologies are catching them now. In other words, the technology is starting to reveal what's actually been happening. Okay? We're starting to see it. Well, that's why the two witnesses, everybody's going to see the two witnesses. Now the technology has finally caught up with the reality of the prophecy. And for instance, another thing to talk about with CERN's location, when you think about it, why in the world did they go to Geneva to negotiate the Iranian nuke deal? Why in the world was it there? And since when does a communist nation, a socialist nation, the former Nazi nation, Islamic nations, capitalism, how did these six world powers come together to agree with the Iranians on something when they can't agree on nothing, but they can agree on this? Because they were sitting at the gates of hell when they did it, right in Geneva, right in the view of CERN. And Israel was screaming, please don't do this. They want to annihilate us, but it didn't matter. The seven-headed monster was being formed right there in Geneva, right there where the hell's gates were being opened by CERN. So you can see where it's the technology is catching up with the prophecies, and we're seeing the manifestation of it and playing out. So as Christians, how do we fight it? Well, we fight it in the name of Jesus. We fight it in the power of the Holy Ghost. We fight it in prayer, and we also got to be informed. And I think right now I can say some of our pastors out there, guys, you got to crack the Bible back open and get in Revelation. You got to quit being afraid. We don't want to make the parishioners nervous with the cotton candy Christianity may have to take a back seat for a minute. The padded pew parishioner needs to know what's really going on. So I'm encouraging my fellow pastors and evangelists out there, start talking about the end times because you're in it, whether you want to be or not, you know?
Yeah, amen. I couldn't agree with you more. And I mean, I was one who was raised in a church that didn't deal a whole lot in prophecy. It wasn't really discouraged, but I think they just didn't really know what to do with it. But I have been to other churches that were real staunch about it and said, no, we don't need to read the book of Revelation because we're not going to be here for it anyway. And even me as a pre-trib rapture believer, it's not anything that I argue about or am
Right.
super dogmatic about, but even me, I didn't take any comfort in that. That's like, what is that? Still, there's a blessing in the book for reading the thing, but I completely agree with you. The prophecy is so important, and I mean, scripture even says God's children, God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So we don't want to forsake knowledge. We're
No.
appointed to be kings and priests, and God says that you'll be no priest unto me if you forsake knowledge. So we don't want to do that. So with prayer and getting in the Word and really trying to figure out what else as Christians can we do as a community of believers? What can we do to prepare for what's ahead when a lot of times we can't even agree on what's ahead?
Right. Well, it's a great, I'm glad you bring up the point, about the, as a pre-trib believer, you take, this is a, you know, it's best that we not have our Christians being divided on the pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. I mean, Amen. All we do is just divide ourselves. It's not going to do any good. The reality is we do have to take we have to prepare ourselves both, you know, mind, body, and soul. Now, I'll say to people, don't go crazy. Don't put your faith in the bags of beans. Get it, put them in the Bible. Okay. Don't go overboard. But at the same time, you know, you need to do some, there's going to be some things happen before the Lord comes to get his church. I'm not even going to talk about this, the wrath of God. We're not going to be here for the wrath of God. We know that. But we do know there's going to be some things going to happen just before we leave. It's going to get a little more intense than I think we all really want to be comfortable with. All we got to do is check with our brothers and sisters in Christ in Iraq and Syria, where they're being executed, beheaded, and murdered every day. So it's going to get a little more uglier than maybe we might have been originally led to believe. But at the same time, that's not a time to have fear. Our faith has to override all fear. Your heart does not have room for fear and faith. Now, the way to not have fear is to be informed. Get Tom Horn's books. Read Pastor Begley's book of RFID, you know, Mark of the Beast book I wrote. Read these. There's two of them. I wrote Mark of the Beast RFID. This is where I had a dream in 1994 of the end times, and I wrote it in this book. I took Bible prophecy, took current world events, and put together an end time apocalyptic scenario. It's a novel, okay? And it ties all the technologies, RFID, everything into it. And it really will help people. It's an easy read. You can read it in 3 hours. So it's a good movie, okay? It's a great movie. Just sit down, get you some popcorn, read the book. You'll say, wow, it helps me understand a lot better. And the other one is Jerusalem Jihad, which is a sequel to it. Each of these books, one gives you a perspective of the end times from America, American family. The other one from a Jewish family in Israel. But they're the same time frame played out in two different scenarios. So I encourage people to get those books, and they're only at my website. You won't find it at Amazon or just at my website. But the reason I encourage you to do that, and a lot of great books, a lot of great authors. I mean, Bill Salas with his Psalms 83. I mean, Dr. Chuck Misler's got a tremendous amount of books that are just his book on the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. I mean, Dr. Tom Horn with his books on the Vatican. Even in the Mark of the Beast book, and I'm not trying to push it hard, but I just want to put this out there for you to let you know the body of Christ has people working and the Holy Spirit speaking to all of them and very similar. When I was writing the Mark of the Beast book, I put down that Pope Benedict was going to die and there'd be a new pope. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, no, 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 erase that. Put down he resigns and there will be a new pope. And I thought, really, God? I was actually had a little conversation with God. I did one of those are you serious moments. I said, really? Because there hasn't been a pope resign in 600 years. And the Holy Spirit said, write down he resigns. So I wrote it into the book. Tom Horn apparently wrote the same thing in the book he wrote. 6 months after my book came out and after his came out, maybe or so, ours came out about the same time, the Pope resigned, okay? The Pope resigned. And I was sitting there saying, oh, my God. And I've started finding out that more and more and more prophetic things happen in writings, Josh. You might be writing something, and you don't realize you're writing a prophecy or prophetic words, and it comes out later. And so, you know, prophecy works in many ways. And so how to help inform the believer is read the Bible. Listen to great programs like this one right here that Josh does. And at the same time, read some of the good material of some of these folks that know what they've done a lot of studying and they know what they're talking about. And I think eat it all, take it all with a grain of salt, spit out the part you don't agree with. Nobody's perfect. None of us have the exact answers, but gather information and this will give you revelation and it will help you in your manifestation of your life. Okay.
Amen. That's so cool to hear. Yeah, and that's confirmation and of prophecy. It's amazing. And something I was writing, it wasn't as specific as that, but I was I was writing a chapter about, this was before gravity waves were, detected. And I was writing about how at some point I believe that they're going to use gravitons as a type of communication system. And the reason that I believe that is because physicists talk about it. Like, it's not a secret, And
Right.
so, I mean, chances are they probably already have, but I'm sure there's stuff going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. But anyway, when I was. I didn't write any timeline or anything, but when I was thinking about it, I thought, we're probably maybe a decade away from them actually being able to do something with gravitons, because at that point it was totally a hypothetical, theoretical particle. And then it was just a couple months later, I got an email from Tom that said they detected gravity waves. I was like, you gotta be kidding! Like, what? I thought we were still a decade away from this, but I just got done writing about this. He's like, "Well, we got to update the chapter." So,
Wow.
yeah,
But see, but that doesn't that encourage you though, Josh? I mean, as a Christian, as a believer, and as a writer, that you're hearing from the Holy Spirit, even when you don't know you are. I mean, even when you don't know you are, you write things that later start to happen. You say, "There's no way." I mean, I thought I could see that concept, but you didn't think that it was coming, coming across or happening so quickly. But that's another thing about prophecy. For after the death of Christ, nothing in prophecy really happened for 1900 years. I heard Perry Stone talk about this. And then all of a sudden we started to see that with the Balfour declaration, we started to see the beginning of the formation of Israel as a nation in 1948. Since this has happened, we have seen prophecy, the destruction of Damascus, the Arab Spring is actually, you can find it in Daniel 11, 41 through 45, the burden of Egypt, okay, in Isaiah 19, literally has played out during the Arab Spring. I mean, there's so many scriptures. People ask me, where are we at in Bible prophecy in the Bible? It's like, where do you want it? What do you want to talk about? It's like there's 10,000 pieces of a puzzle. They're all on the table now. The puzzle's about 80% done, and the rest of the pieces are going fast. It's accelerating. We're living in the last days. What does that mean? Well, it could mean we got 50 years left. Maybe it means we got 50 months left. Maybe we got 50 days left. I don't know. Maybe we got 50 minutes left. I don't know. But I mean, the body of Christ better be ready, because he's coming. He said, in an hour you think not, the Son of Man coming. So he is coming soon. We need to be ready. We're in the season. Whatever that might mean, we're in the season.